This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, Leap of Space. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. In the 1960s, when the US and Russia were spending billions on a race to the moon, it must have seemed like the start of a grand spacefaring era that would soon lead us to Mars and beyond. But that is not how things panned out. Wade Rausch explores why not.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Long before NASA sent real astronauts to the moon in 1969, we'd already been there in our imaginations. And the most vivid depiction of what it might be like to live on the moon or travel to other planets came in the famous film 2001, A Space Odyssey. The movie showed a whole city on the moon and a giant rotating space station. And there were astronauts traveling to Jupiter in search of aliens. One of the main characters was a thinking computer named Hal.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
The movie, which hit theaters in 1968, was directed by Stanley Kubrick. He was already famous for Dr. Strangelove, and then went on to make films like The Shining and Full Metal Jacket. He wrote the 2001 screenplay with futurist Arthur C. Clarke. He was the guy who came up with the idea for the communication satellites that now relay phone calls and TV signals around the globe. The screenwriters studied the Apollo space program, and from there, they used their imaginations, creating one of the most detailed visions of the future ever put down on film. But when you look at the world of the movie, and you compare it to the world we actually got by the year 2001, it's clear that reality came up short. In the movie, for instance, passengers flew into space on rocket planes owned by Pan American Airlines.
Pan Am will bring you the plane with all the room in the world.
Not only were those space planes never built, the real Pan Am went out of business in 1991. And why didn't we get talking computers like Hal? I mean, these days we do have Siri and Alexa and Cortana.
The average temperature of Mars is about minus 53 degrees Fahrenheit.
But unlike Hal, they aren't very good at conversation.
Sorry, I don't know that.
And we still don't have the first clue about how to make a computer conscious. Screenwriters Kubrick and Clarke put a lot of research and rigor into their predictions. But today, the movie seems naive and overly optimistic. There are lots of theories about how the movie got the future so wrong. The best one is what I call the carousel of progress is stuck. That's a name I came up with after visiting Disney World. Things didn't quite go right at a show called The Carousel of Progress. Everyone in the audience sat down in a ring of seats, and then the whole ring rotated around the central stage. There were robot people chattering about the benefits of electric lights in the 1900s, refrigerators in the 1920s, and television in the 1940s. And between acts, they sang this goofy song.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow.
So there was this 1940s robot dad talking about the family's rumpus room. But then the whole show broke down. From where I was sitting, I got stuck listening to the robot dad doing his lines over and over. Eventually, a Disney mechanic came and fixed the carousel, and the audience finally moved on to the present. There's a book that argues that technological progress in America really did get stuck, kind of like that carousel. The book is called The Rise and Fall of American Growth, and it says the year when progress stopped was 1970. That theory is from economist Robert Gordon, and his big idea is that there was a wave of technological advances after the Civil War that was so rapid and so deep that nothing since then has measured up.
Gordon's theory is that the big advances from the late 19th century, the 1970s, were truly huge things. Refrigeration, antisepsis, highways, airplanes.
This is Jason Ponton. He's the former editor-in-chief of MIT Technology Review. And he boils down the book like this. You may feel like you just couldn't live without digital conveniences like Snapchat or Instagram, but getting an iPhone in your pocket just doesn't change your life in the same way as getting electricity in your house or a car in your driveway.
He thinks that the internet and personal computers are relatively small things compared to the big stuff.
So, back to the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I am putting myself to the fullest possible use, which is all I think that any conscious entity can ever hope to do.
If the carousel of progress really is stuck, that might explain why the movie's grand vision turned out to be a mirage. The screenwriters, Kubrick and Clark, had high expectations, and maybe the reason was that they came of age in an era when massive progress seemed normal. For one thing, they got to see the first people fly to space. So maybe it wasn't outrageous to think that by the year 2001, we might have moon bases or giant space stations or even thinking computers. But just because we don't have those things yet doesn't mean we'll never get them. Ponton says we have the tools to make fundamental progress. Consider the new wave of innovations in artificial intelligence and gene editing. What we may have lost, though, is our faith in ourselves.
There also needs to be a new feeling about our common humanity, that we want to go and solve these problems. We have to want the future.
In the end, what makes 2001 a great movie is that it did believe that we can extend our collective grasp. The movie wasn't really about space stations or talking computers or aliens. It was about us, growing up as a species, to the point where we leave the Earth, reach other planets, and even give consciousness to our machines.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this before.
If we can recapture this kind of optimism, we might still make these big things happen, just not quite so soon.
That's Wade Rausch, and you can hear a longer version of this story on his podcast. It's called Soonish.